And would you know that in the prayers of the faithful that day, the word beatitude was in there, and I read beatitude. I read beatitude.
Number one fan.
I had to obviously correct myself, but I had to also chuckle a little
bit. It really came out loud. Other people heard it.
Oh, my goodness. People heard it. What have you done to me?
SEO ranking, we're climbing. Yeah. That's it, climbing. Brand recognition.
I don't even know if the right is valid anymore. You know, so.
For
so
being sorry. An amazing man, we're giving you a pair of socks from sockreligious.com.
Hello, Beatitudes worldwide. That's right, we've got fans all over these continents, really.
Beatitudes, just all over
the world, yeah.
We're on Sputnik.
Yeah, I'm probably. It's getting out there. Wavelengths just traveling out to the edge of the solar system, probably. Ladies and gentlemen, you have tuned into the Beatitudes, a podcast for Christian men seeking to grow in holiness, walking together in authentic fraternity on the way to eternity. My name is Paul Kolker, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Jeff Scheffelbein.
Cheers, mate.
And Nicholas Besner.
Howdy.
And we've got back for our bonus Friday episode, Andrew Rawicki, and just go back and listen to Monday. There's no words right now. It was incredible. We got to hear an incredible story about his father, Holocaust survivor, not something you want to miss, so please go back and watch that one. It's very touching, very... powerful. Again, no words really do it justice, but we're back now a little more on the lighthearted side, although still we're going to get to hear some awesome loving stories about you and your family
What makes you think it's lighthearted when you look at Andrew right now? Anything about his...
Well, that's a good point. He is wearing a shirt that has all of his grandchildren on it.
Unbelievable
That is all 10
of them?
Pretty sharp. Pretty sharp, isn't
That's it? Incredible. I love that so much. Okay, but before we get to
they will wink at you a little bit, depending on what I do.
You flex your biceps.
They'll wink at you.
It's how the shirt bends. It's a winkle.
Yeah.
Can you do that thing where you flex your pecs?
Let's move on.
The old pec flex. All right. We're going to start with our TBD question, because the story was so powerful on Monday that we didn't really get to dive into that. So... we're going to start. Our question is, what is a recent time that you tried something for the first time? So what's the last time you did something for the first time?
It's not a riddle. It's a real question.
No, it is. Yeah. Because, it's good to try new things every so often, right? We get into our habits, our routines, all of that. But and nothing wrong with those either. But, every once in a while, mix them up.
Yeah, the one that sticks out for me is, and this has probably been a few years ago, but I remember this as the first time doing this was cliff jumping.
Mm.
Don't think I dove, so I wouldn't call it cliff diving.
There was water at the bottom.
It was
right?
pretty high, so we went feet first.
Okay.
Is it Canyon Lake?
Mm.
This is a few years ago. Some friends on a guy's weekend, and we rented a boat, and there's people doing it. And we're like, hey, what do you think? I'm down. It's 20 feet, and... the water's plenty deep, so...
Did you wear shoes?
I don't think so.
I would have.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Somebody else's.
A good pencil,
So I could just lose them.
Straight in. It was fun.
You went cliff penciling.
Yeah, I'd do it again.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, pencil it in.
I'm still thinking. What do you got, Ball?
I actually was going to...
Ball?
Ball.
Ball. Don't know what to do with that.
A third of a beer, Jeff.
Yes, a third.
At least I have an excuse right now.
I was going to say Exodus 90, actually, because I had never done that before. Mm. And I will be honest, I didn't check every single box on the daily routines.
Anyone has checked every single box.
Well, I know some people who really go hard in the paint on that, it happen. So I'm just saying I picked three of the bigger ones.
I see.
And just said, these are the ones I know I can stick to. Everything else will just kind of be an aspiration. Maybe some days I'll do it. Maybe some days I won't.
Sure.
And so I did stop using my phone as often and watching TV as often, but it wasn't a strict promise that I was making to myself. But no alcohol, cold showers. What was the other one?
No snacking.
Yeah. You were doing some good holy hours.
Oh, yeah. I was starting my day in prayer, which really, and that's something not necessarily every day, but I have been able to keep alive trying to pray for a significant chunk of time each day, and it's been a game changer.
That's actually the time when we had the most significant growth in subscribers.
Right.
So I wish you would.
I'll get back on. No, but it is amazing though. I think when you make space for grace, right? Like that whole idea that you back off of the things that you prefer or the things that you think you need, and that whole deal, God shows up in powerful ways.
Totally agree.
And it's not just it's not like a barter system with God. I'm just saying that it's
what do you got?
Yeah. Well, I gave up this, so what do you give me? Yeah, no, it's not that. It's just I'm gonna make some room for God to move and it was an incredible experience.
It's incredible. I think one of my most recent new things I tried was cold plunging. And I'll credit Nick Besner for cold plunging, getting me into it. And it's like a small cold plunge, but for some reason we just go in it together so that we have somebody to talk to the whole time. We wear trunks and we get in there and it's like, okay, don't stop talking. And whoever's like maybe around, we probably look crazy because we're both just talking. We both just...
To distract yourself.
To distract yourself from the cold.
Yeah, cold.
Absolutely.
Your heart gets just...
Your body rejects 50-degree water pretty hard.
Yeah.
But it's a good mental challenge and... Yeah.
I will say afterwards,
you feel great.
I feel like I could run again like a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what do you got, old Andy?
Oh, old Andy. That works well.
I mean, you were Andy a long time ago.
Yeah, I was Andy.
You're not old.
My wife changed my name to Andrew 38 plus years ago. So, yeah, no problem at all. You know, interestingly enough, the recent time I started to use earbuds for the first time. Mm. I was, interestingly enough, invited as a delegate to a convention in Rome that was completely in Spanish. Mm. I don't speak any Spanish. And
¿Por qué?
So I bought some AirPods, something like that. I probably should have spent more money on them because they weren't very noise-canceling. It was a little tough. They'd be falling out of my ears while I was hearing my live translation. Sometimes the microphone in the plenary council or conference room would be too loud and I'd be covering my ears, but those are the little buttons there. And I'd hit that button and I'd pounce out of the Zoom meeting and then I'd have to go find the Zoom back on my phone. And so it was a little bit traumatic, a little bit humbling, my experience with earpods. So
I think they call them ear iPods.
Something like that. iPods. I knew about those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, so listen, you also tried putting on a shirt.
I took a shirt off. I had this one on the whole time.
Yeah, this is a first. I don't know that you've ever had three cameras on you while you wore this shirt that would be broadcast.
That is something true. You've done for the first time.
I'm predicting millions of viewers. This is the pec flex.
Tune in. You don't want to miss that.
If you're audio only, I'm sorry. Tell us what's going on. I mean, between shirt and the book in front of us, one of the things we asked you to kind of going into this episode was like, let's talk about like the post-retirement version of Andrew Rawicki and your involvement and everything that you're doing.
Well, when we lived in Poland, we actually were blessed to welcome our first grandchild. Of course, he was born in the U.S. They did come over to visit us. That would be Donovan, our oldest. When our son was ordained a priest in 2022, lots of the family were able to come over. Donovan was able to have his first communion at St. Peter's, you know, with 2 days after the ordination.
Wow.
John Paul II's tomb. So he had a little pretty special little deal going on.
No big deal.
He's the first of 10 grandkids.
Oh, yeah. Let's point out there he is. I see him right here in the black. Yeah, he's right underneath your chin. A little bit hard to see.
There's, I can't see him all that very well, but there's, as I mentioned earlier, there's eight of them are local, eight of them in Dallas, seven of them I could walk to. You could probably walk from there to seven of our grandkids, the eighth, Amelia, Madeline's daughter, and then the two that live in Covington, Louisiana. So the doctor's son from the old Rawicki joke, Dr. Lawyer and the Priest, he has started his practice in Covington and Hammond, Louisiana, so... The two grandkids that are farthest away, they're about 9 hours away in there. So, so that's, you know, the first episode, we kind of went backwards to my dad. And then this episode, we're able to capture some of the current stuff. They keep me young. That's a chunk of what I'm enjoying in my retirement. Obviously, that's why we moved to Irving to be close to many of them.
And the Beatitudes.
Did I not say that? Yeah. So, okay. So the Beatitudes, they are definitely a part of my life, you know, and I'm going to tell you a little something here, and, you know, I'm a little sorry about this, but I'll also speak about Regnum Christi.
Yeah.
So that's the other big chunk of my time. I'm the local director for Regnum Christi in Dallas, and that's the conference I was at was the first general convention of the Regnum Christi Federation. So we had our a renewal in the last decade, our statutes and our canonical kind of structure was formed in 2018 and ratified in 2019, and the statutes say that every 6 years you will have a convention. So the first ever general convention was held in Rome just a couple of weeks ago, and that's why I was over there with my ear pods or whatever they call it. But Regnum Christi is for those of you who don't know, it's a spiritual family. It's an apostolic body. Canonically, we're a federation now that includes legionaries of Christ priests. The son of mine that's a priest is a legionary priest. The priests that are at the Highland School, they've been on this podcast for sure. Father Andrew Dalton, Father Fergal, at least, legionary priests. But we also have consecrated women of Regnum Christi around the world, consecrated men, and then also lay faithful that have associated with this federation. So I'm obviously a layman that is associated with Regnum Christi. I did that I met Regnum Christi 2001, so 10 years into my, since I became Catholic. And it certainly kind of jump-started a deeper understanding of what it meant to be a lay apostle, you know, what the Second Vatican was, you know, imploring everybody to understand what we're really called to, but really by our baptism, what we're called to do. And, you know, the very first, you know, I met Regnum Christi in 2001, largely, or 2000 probably, by my children going to some camps, you know, Conquest and Challenge camps, very generous family, the LeBlancs outside of Covington, Louisiana, had these grounds that they always hosted folks at. And we just, this is really, these people are, I see something. I see like a family resemblance, people that want to really work on their own holiness and want to give it out, you know. So I ended up hopping onto a team of men. You know, I'd been Catholic for 10 years. I told you I never even prayed before I was probably 25 years old. And we have these things called encounters with Christ. And these 12 men sitting around on a table in Covington, Louisiana, in somebody's house, you know, taking a look at this upcoming Sunday's gospel, you know, pouring over it. And how does it move your heart? And then reflecting back on a commitment, a resolution that you'd made a week before. And then, you know, did I fulfill that? Why not? You know, okay. A little spontaneous prayer. And then you go into a case study and understanding, you know, trying to take a look at some aspect of the world and really see it in the terms of, you know, how Christ sees it, how the world might see it, how the, you know, what are the causes of what happened? What are the consequences? The, you know, what virtues and vices? What is it? How should we judge how that was? You know, what should we act? How should we act leaving this? And then that's what we would take a look at reflecting on the next. It rocked my world, really.
That's awesome.
Men doing that. One of the men was actually the father of a priest. And I thought, this is really wild. I've never been a father of a priest before. Now I'm that guy. That's pretty cool.
People are saying that about you. I met this guy, Andrew.
Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, we went, this was 2001. I associated my wife, very similar time frame. In 2003, we went to this massive gathering of Regnum Christi called a Youth and Family Encounter in Chicago. It was called Put Out into the Deep was the theme. And, okay, we're going to come back. We're going to be all fired up for, you know, really apostles put out into the deep. And I get home, and on my answering machine was I was going to put out into the deep. We're moving to Bakersfield. You know, that was one of those moves after we'd really been settled. The longest we'd ever lived anywhere was Mandeville. It was about 4.5 years, Mandeville, Louisiana. And, okay. So that's how we rationalized it to our kids. You know, we just went on this. You all heard it. Put out into the deep. It's time to, like, just, you know, toss away our comforts and go out there where there is no Regnum Christi. Of course, my wife starts a team, and you know, we had priests and brothers come down from San Jose from time to time, do a little father son kind of conquest things. And fast forward to, you know, when I moved here, I'd taken on a fair amount of leadership roles in Regnum Christi, where we had Regnum Christi available in San Jose, many times in Houston, where I lived there. When I came here, I was asked to be a liaison to a regional convention that it was going to involve Louisiana and Houston. And it made sense that I would be a liaison since I knew people in Louisiana and Houston. I'd lived with these people. I lived around them. And after that, I was asked if I might take on the local director role. So in 2020, I became the local director. Every year, you know, we have certain commitments that we tell God we're going to do. And one of those is spiritual exercises. And it's beautiful Ignatian style silent retreat. And almost every year, somebody is going to associate into Regnum Christi at the end of those. I happened to go to my spiritual exercises in February of this year. And there were two men that were associating to Regnum Christi. And the Father Fergal asked me if I would read the prayers of the faithful that are part of the rite of association. And would you know that in the prayers of the faithful that day, the word beatitude was in there, and I read beatitude. I read beatitude.
Number one fan.
I had to obviously correct myself, but I had to also chuckle a little bit.
It really came out loud. Other people heard it.
Oh, my goodness. People heard it. People heard it. What have you done to me?
The SEO ranking, we're climbing. Yeah. That's it. brand recognition.
I don't even know if the right is valid anymore. You know, so.
For
so
being
sorry.
An amazing man, we're giving you a pair of socks from sockreligious.com. These are Monstrance socks in black. I think they're going to go really well with this shirt.
Oh, nice.
And I just want to say that we would give you every pair of socks if that's what you asked for at this time after
after that
dropping that in the middle of a prayer.
Lauding us.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Go to sockreligious.com/beatitudes or say that.
Do you think it's a forward
that.
Slash?
It is. It's,
oh, yeah. My goodness. I've always said the wrong thing.
You always
thing.
Just say slash.
Oh, I do?
Right?
Yeah, you haven't said the wrong thing. You just haven't said the full thing.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. /beatitudes, just like Andrew says in his prayers.
No.
And you can get a discount and a whole new look at life every time you put on your shoes.
On your legs.
On your legs. It's pretty awesome. Wow. Yeah,
so. That's so fun. That's going to be the beginning of this episode, I can guarantee.
we're clipping
that out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You have so much joy in you and so much energy in you. Like, show us the way.
Bye.
Jeff, I bet you're closer in age to him than to me. It's got to be close.
Yeah, no, I got it. I got it. Thanks.
Nick, not helping right now.
I mean, if we did a push-up contest, I would be with a pencil counting because I'd be done way before him. We both continue to be involved in the school, and what you're doing in this community is phenomenal. When somebody's thinking about, and I'm going to go back to discernment. In the previous episode, you talked about discernment. You talked about what Paul and his brother both experienced and the different ways in which they discerned their outcomes. How would you encourage somebody who's discerning an opportunity to be involved in some sort of a community, in some sort of a federation? I don't want to use the wrong words, but apostolates and movements and, you know, movements of the Holy Spirit. Like, what is it? What is your view of that? And maybe we can kind of put a nice little bow on it there.
Sure. You know, I would say you start to find people, you know, I mentioned a family resemblance with Regnum Christi. You start to, and it doesn't have to be any particular, you know, movement or group, but find people that share, I mean, this doesn't sound super profound, does it? Find people that share values as you, that you have, and get to know them a little bit. Get to know what makes them tick. There was no going back. When I sat around with these 12 men, I mean, they were guys that I knew would nurture my faith. I knew would make me a better man, better make me a better husband, a better father. There was absolutely no doubt. And there are men out there for every one of you that is listening that you know. There are people that make you a better person, that make you, after you leave a chat with them, you think, oh, okay, that, you know, there was something that was said there, something that I want to go do, something I want to think about, something I want to pray about. And I don't think it takes deep discernment, but when you are discerning, you want to really listen. You know, I went, you know, one of your previous guests, young Lucido, his dad is a spiritual director now. He's gone through the Divine Mercy University. I went to him for the first time for spiritual direction. Before I went, I mentioned that little deal I was doing in Cincinnati, and I told him the process that I was going to go through, and I told him that I was going to mention, you know, Father Kevin's little, you know, story about his discernment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, when they all come out of the holy half hour, I want to, I'm going to ask them some questions. Okay, are any of you available to be the Regnum Christi director of Cincinnati? That was the goal. And if so, or if not, you know, give me a little sentence. And then if you're not, you know, what gifts can you offer? And Michael, in that spiritual direction, he said, oh, he stopped me and he said, oh, you need to really listen. And I thought to myself, oh, no, you don't understand, Michael. This is about Cincinnati. He said, no. And you really need to listen. These are people that have been praying and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to them. And if they're going to say something, it's going to be not just for them. It's for all of us.
Oh, wow.
And so obviously when I came out of that holy half hour, I also told them about my new spiritual director.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not really that complicated. It's, you know, find the good folks that make you a better person and listen.
Now,
listen to them, listen to God.
If it was 12 men at one table for an encounter with Jesus, did you all sit on the same side of the table?
No. No, okay. But this would have been really good. Yeah,
didn't know if you last suppered it or.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's recline and have a conversation.
There you go.
Hey, tell us. Recline at table with me.
Tell us about the book and we'll take it home with the book here.
So, this particular book, Our Lady at the Highlands School, you know, we've been, ever since Luke, our son Luke, entered the Legionaries of Christ, we've been asking Our Lady of Guadalupe to intercede for him and continue to still do as he's a priest now in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've had a great devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. There is an image at the Highland School that I didn't know the story of, and we heard a little bit of it in a gala a couple of years ago, and my wife thought we need to get more and a better understanding of how this image came to be. And it's quite special. It's an image that was one of 220 that was touched to the actual tilma, not the frame of the tilma, not the glass, but the actual tilma. John Paul II, when he made his first trip to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, he knew that Our Lady was what was going to be needed to bring peace in the world. And he commissioned 220 images digitally made, but all would be touched to the tilma. There was a local gentleman, Dr. Varghese, who was going to get one of these images sent home to his home country of India, and he asked Dan Hennessy to help him package it up, you know, all the different protocols for this, you know, sacramental, you know, it's a relic since it's been touched. It's, you know, it's consecrated by a bishop down there. And basically Dan helped get that image over to India. And then that man had an inn where he said, hey, would you like to get one for the Highland School? So basically my wife got Dan Hennessy to sit down at our dining room table. We interviewed the heck out of him, taped it all. I wrote a little book. And we had lower school children of the Highland School illustrate it. A few shuffle binds are in there.
So let me read you these names. There's 13 awesome. Pictures in here. 13 pictures. I'll get to page 3, Donovan Rawicki. Page, let's go here to page 8, Amelia Shufflebine.
It was sharp.
Dan
Look
and Roy there. Page, let's keep going here, 10, Chaley Rawicki.
4 years old, yeah.
Page 11, Pax Shufflebine. Page 12, Genevieve Rawicki. Page 13, Lorelei Shufflebine.
Amazing.
This is the Rawicki Shufflebine, and I have to admit, I knew my kids were in here, but I didn't know it was all three of them.
three oldest, yeah.
This book is awesome. Hey, I actually had the actual image from our school brought to the house for about 12 hours. It did an overnight at the house.
Beautiful.
So we could sit and pray with Our Lady. And it was right in the darkest times of trying to find out all the stuff going on with our son's brain cancer. And so it was a very moving time. And what a beautiful ministry it is that image, just as the image that appeared to Juan Diego was for the people and not just for one set of the people, the image at the Highland School is for the people, and it is on loan all the time to people in need.
Ingrid Meyer, who's featured, you know, mentioned in this book, I mean, a great love of Our Lady, and she had all this stuff. She prayed for the right kind of stuff to package it and be able to drive it around. She was driving it around the hospital when one of the surgeries
during
was going
the brain
on
surgery.
40 of us were on a Zoom call praying. You know, just
One of the greatest gifts. I mean, we're sitting there alone in a hallway, crying, watching him go down for his brain surgery, knowing that the image of Our Lady is being driven around the hospital with all of you on there praying, and people from out of state and all over.
My dad hopped on. Yeah.
Your dad and Andy and Andrew.
Andy and Andrew. Yeah.
Praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet together for Benny. So,
amen.
Man, you're a blessing to us. I hope that everybody will go back and listen to both of these episodes multiple times as we do with a lot of these really powerful ones. But thanks for your witness. Thanks for being a loving and strong, living memorial of Yerzy and everybody who didn't make it out. I hope people will go back and listen to that. And to my dudes here, I feel like I've found my federation and my people that I can go and enjoy growth and life. And even to you, America, put on your glasses there for the tough editing. Good job. Peace. All right, friends, we are going to see you on the colorful pages of history and Our Lady. And I don't even know where to go with that one either. I'm just full of not going anywhere today.
You don't have to. It's fine. We
Thank
just have
you.
To get to
Let's
that
just
one
be
last
right
line.
Here.
Yeah.
And for the rest of it, we shall
see you in the Eucharist.
Andrew hit it. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, @_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.